Hello. Welcome to another episode of Anxiously Artistic. I'm your host, Dr. Alondra. And in this podcast, we break down things that make us anxious to our art or to appear and show up for ourselves with our art practice. I haven't introduced myself in a while or talked about myself in a while. That sounds very ironic. But I am a PhD holder in Black feminisms and fashion design, and I have varied interests from all things design with a capital D, from industrial to garden design to clothing to graphic. All of these things interest me. I am an artist. I am a published author. So there's a lot of things, you know, that I've got going, but somehow I'm very apprehensive to show up as my authentic self online, and I am working through that. And I hope you'd join me on this journey as I try to work through my anxieties and apprehensions and hopefully help you as well in the long run. Today's episode is about essentially unbecoming, and you know, I think some of the things that precipitated to get to this point, I have avoided. I have been very pensive lately, and not only that, I've been extremely emotional and just crying some things out, and I really didn't know that I needed that. In high school, one of my favorite books that was required reading was a book by Wally Lamb called She's Come Undone. Funny enough, I actually just started rereading this book about two weeks ago. So out of all of the books that were required reading in all my years of AP and advanced English, this one has to be probably one of my most memorable novels that I've ever read. And as I've gotten much closer to 40, I think about this book pretty often, right? So something that I realized when I first started reading it was, or rereading it, I suppose, is that it was about Dolores's age in part two when I first read it, and now I'm about at Dolores's age at the end of the book, or the beginning, depending on, you know, how you look at it, when I've reread it. And if you haven't read the book, I apologize. I hope this isn't much of a spoiler alert if you intend to read it. But one of the things that I think about this much closer to 40 is how Dolores literally has a mental breakdown. And she has had to endure so much, right, within her life. Just trauma thing after trauma. Now, I will admit that I'm not necessarily a Dolores fan. And I don't know if that was the intention of Wally or not, but that girl irks my nerves. But I do have some sympathy for her and a little bit of empathy as well, having gone through some of the things that she has gone through. But another thing I noticed, that even though she had endured all of these things, at the end, she was okay. Like, she came out alive, and she came out of her psychosis. Well, it wasn't even really a psychosis, but she came out of the things all right. And likewise, I've sat with Maya Angelou's second autobiography, Gathered Together in My Name, and the amount of change in careers that Maya held from just the ages of 17 to 20. We're not even talking about her first book or the last like 10 or so. And though nothing seemed to go quite as planned for Maya by the end of this particular book in this saga, she was even more determined to just work hard and take a stab at whatever it is she did. And by the end, well, you guess it, she was okay at this part of her journey. And I read these things, right? And some of them are based on fact, and some of them are based on fiction. Obviously, Maya's life is based on her version of fact, and Wally's book is based on fiction. And I get so excited to read these coming-of-age tales, In them, I feel seen and I feel very materialized in the pages of the books. However, though, somehow I don't feel the same emotions when I take a step back and look at how my life has unfolded. There seems to be this thirst, you know, this hunger to know the answers to a life that's unanswerable. In life, we don't know the answers, and we probably won't until we get there. Life isn't some exam that you have a cheat sheet for, and I fear that that may be how I have approached my life. Maybe not all of it, but some of it, yes. You make the right choices, ask and answer all the right questions. You'll be a good and quiet student. But that's not what a life is. Having had many careers and jobs in one lifetime is absolutely normal, right? And I feel like it's not, which is crazy. At least for me. I can't speak for any folk, anybody else, but just myself. And I'm in this kind of waiting period right now. And in this waiting or wilderness period of my life, I've been sad. And in this stillness, I am forced to reckon with things that I have and are currently plaguing my mental space as I decolonize and decenter the academe and respectability and this idea of what's correct. And because the academe has been such an incremental part of my life, it's been something that I joke with people all the time and say I was in school for 30 years. My mom quite literally put me in like preschool at 2. And I went all the way through school, minus a few years here and there, up until my mid to late 30s. So, like, quite literally, the academia has been a very present entity in my life. And I'm seeing this as an undoing, right? And I'll be honest, it ain't pretty and it don't feel good. At all, I mean at all, to decenter and decolonize this thing that has such a great presence in your life for such a long time, right? It's been with me longer than some of my friends have been, but it's totally necessary. This is growth. I would be lying if I said that I am exactly where I thought I would be by now, but baby, I'm not. But if gratitude steps in, I am far better off than where I was headed a bit over a decade ago. Like, seriously. I managed to go from a young, hedonic single mother, headed towards nothing and working a dead-end job, and I hated it every single day, to having a doctorate and doing research on design and Black feminism while owning a business focused on Black women and design, and a newlywed and a daughter who is the light of my life, who is excelling in school, in sports, and band far more than I ever could have imagined. In fact, she's doing a lot of the things that I wish that I could have done when I was younger that we just couldn't afford to do. And I'm still in the midst of evolving. And the funny thing is that I feel like I had more confidence in my ability when I was younger, doing stupid shit. But maybe that's part of the undoing. Maybe I have to be confronted with the thing that I feel is holding me back from freely expressing the version of me that I'm waiting to meet, or keeping me tethered to this idea of failure. I think I am sat in this moment of undoneness. What feels happenstance is completely by God's design. Having lived many lifestyles by the age of 40, well, I will have lived many lifestyles by the age of 40, because who knows what I will need and who for. To decode my trauma, my experience, so that I can translate it for someone in need outside of myself. These are pensive questions that keep me up at night and run my brain frantically. Like that one episode of SpongeBob where he forgets his name. My name? What's my name? Maybe this is my coming of age story. Albeit much past its prime, though. To that end, scripture reads in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 4, God comforts us in all our affliction so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any kind of affliction, though, through the comfort we ourselves receive from him. And that did my heart a bit of good, right? I go through the muck to help and assist other people in their muckness, right? To help stretch a hand in that moment that people may be feeling the unsettling that I felt. This unsettledness ultimately leads to comfort, though, as the Bible promises, I have come undone. Like Dolores Price in the novel, I have endured so much abuse in nearly every sense. I'm talking almost nearly every sense. I have become unrecognizable to myself at several points in my life, some good, some bad, from a lack of vision, of confidence, and of support. And I've been sitting with that like over the past couple of weeks. In fact, it has kept me up at night. I don't think I've allowed myself a proper period of grief, which led me to not be able to celebrate times of great perseverance. And that just makes me sad. And I noticed that you can't stifle the negative emotions without the positive ones being impacted as well. And that sucks. It just doesn't work like that. So let's go ahead and start the grieving process now. And whatever this grieving process looks like for you, I want you to participate in it. But I'm going to start with what it looks like for me. I don't know who I'm becoming, and that makes me sad for the old me. I've known her so well, so well. We had such good times and bad times and intimate times, and we grew into this body and this life together. She learned survival in ways that I don't need right now, nor can I operate within, at least not in this present moment. And for that, I am eternally grateful. I know there's so much more of her still here within me, but so much that's still not the same at the same time. Wally Lamb writes in this book, She's Come Undone, a most captivating quote, and pretty empathizing as well. He says, or he writes, "This is what can happen to you. You can end up this far from where you thought you were going. That was what scared me about college. But my fear didn't matter." And baby, and while this was about college for Dolores, and it's been about college for me as well, but honestly, it's about a lot of things in life and how I let fear and all these things kind of back me into a corner. And I noticed that the core of who I am still burns brightly from within. But some of my core values have developed a little more since the days of denying myself access to things that I deserve. Since those days were king, right? They no longer rule, I don't want them to any longer rule or be king in my life. I've believed so many lies about myself that a narcissistic, abusive relationship has gaslighted me into hearing. Lies that I have constantly reminded myself that I am not and I am safe from. Lies that I am safe from. You know, these things are not me. These things do not make my identity. These lies, let's call them what they are. Lies that I have to dispel with the gospel truth and with my accomplishments and who God says that I am. And honestly, lies that I'm still actively fighting, because this relationship, this abusive one, is one that I am still having to endure for the sake of the shared common child that is also being succumbed to the same types of lies. So not only do I have to dispel them for myself frequently, I have to dispel them for my child as well. And yeah. And I grieve that. Gosh, I not in a bad way. I grieve that I even have to deal with it to begin with. And I grieve shame. I feel shame. Shame for what? I'm not even entirely sure, to be honest. I feel ashamed that I went back to college in my mid-20s sometimes. Why? Why is that shameful? I did it. I feel ashamed that I have a doctorate and I've not always wanted to actively pursue teaching at the higher ed level. But instead, I want to fully pursue art and design and community building. But I guess that one is more of guilt than it is shame. I feel ashamed that even in my mid to late 30s, I am still trying to figure out what it is that I want to do and what it is that I want. I'm unnecessarily anxious about silly things, even though I know a lot. I feel as if I don't even know where to start with things. I feel like I've been trying to live the life of the expectation of what I thought life was supposed to be like if I course corrected and did the procedural steps. But it feels disingenuous. It feels dispossessing. And having denied myself the pleasure of things for too long, of falling in love with the good and need improvement parts of myself, the wins and losses, the vulnerable bits with the strengths, I transferred that to how I viewed my work, my art. I downplayed what I did. Never celebrated the good parts, not even my graduations. Like, I am part of the 4.4% of Black women who are doctors. That don't make me better than anybody, but that makes me something. I lost my voice and my belief in what I did and how I showed up for myself. I suffered one of the worst creative blocks I have ever faced. Couldn't do anything, couldn't think anything. Nothing for the longest amount of times. And the crazy thing is, with that, I felt kind of like that 400-year silence between the Old Testament and the New Testament where God wasn't speaking. I just felt like a just dried, barren talent. However, despite these feelings, I'm walking into a life that feels apt. Tailor-made to me. I'm finding not only new hobbies, but a lifestyle that I could not have fathomed in my earlier years. I'm rediscovering who I am and the kid in me, right? The child in me that I let vanish and I let go without a goodbye. That kid that used to wander in the woods by herself, looking for bodies of water or looking for food to forage, that she just disappeared when things got tough and I had to be an adult or I had to do all of these things to essentially protect myself. I'm allowing myself to branch out into interests that I hadn't even had the remote interest once upon a time, like knitting and crocheting, as well as other things. And I take this time to embrace the shift. As ugly, uncomfortable, awkward, unsatisfying as it may seem right now, something new and complete and whole is emerging as she comes undone. And I can't wait to meet her. So I thank you for listening today. As always, I hope you have a blessed and wonderful day, rest of the week, whatever it is for you. Until next time, bye.